This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Trump administration's controversial nominee for Federal Reserve may not make it. I'm David Brancaccio. First, retail sales fell by a sliver in August when you do what the pros do and set aside spending on food, gas, restaurants, cars, and trucks. This maneuver yields a number that better tracks what the underlying economy is doing, meaning for August, some slippage. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
What's most interesting here is where we're spending. And so the control group for sales excludes food services, car dealers, building materials, gas stations. Those things excluded, we actually were negative 0.1% spend, and that's well below what analysts were estimating. But if you include them, we're not so bad. It's a positive 0.6%. But I think it does show where people are spending their money right now, given the COVID scenario.
At a time that the supplemental checks from the government during COVID were running out.
The consumer is impacted by that, certainly. And that $600 a week extra has run out. I think economists and analysts are really looking to see how that consumer spend shifts, given that there's not that extra money in the paycheck right now.
Policymakers at the Federal Reserve are just sitting down, just about now, for a second day of a meeting, their last before the presidential election. We're expecting no change in interest rates today, but we do expect another plea for Congress to spend again on emergency stimulus. A top Senate Republican says a controversial nominee for the Federal Reserve Board, Judy Shelton, does not have enough votes for confirmation. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Members of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors are nominated by the president, but have to be confirmed by the Senate. Judy Shelton was nominated by President Trump despite some controversial opinions. She's advocated for a return to the gold standard. She's also said the Fed has too much power and independence and should work more closely with the White House. She was an informal advisor to the Trump campaign in 2016. Senator John Thune, the Senate's second highest ranking Republican, told reporters yesterday Shelton doesn't have enough votes to be confirmed. Two Republican senators have said they won't support her, and all of the Democrats in the Senate are expected to oppose her. Thune says Senate leaders won't bring Shelton's confirmation up until they have the votes, but her nomination is a priority for the White House. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
If we get a coronavirus vaccine that's safe and that works, the second Manhattan Project is getting it to people. Distribution involves colossal logistical and fairness issues, which we're covering from multiple angles. Today, the notion of the right COVID vaccine. Larry Brilliant is an epidemiologist who was on the team that eradicated smallpox in South Asia and the world. He's founder and CEO of Pan Defense Advisory.
The vaccine that we want is one that can be used in the most remote places by anybody. You don't want it to have a vaccine injector gun that needs electricity. You want it to have a very long period of immunity, not just because that's what you want for the person, but you want to be able to have a program that lasts 3 or 4 years that doesn't have to require visiting somebody again. So a vaccine that requires two doses, a month apart, a booster a year later, that doesn't qualify. And most of the early candidate vaccines do require that. And then probably most important, you can't require a cold chain, especially storage at minus 80 degrees, as two of the leading candidates do, and hope to get into the villages in the remote corner of Zimbabwe or Bihar. Those begin to be a new set of criteria for a vaccine that will help us throw this virus into the dustbin of history.
Let me understand this better, this cold chain. You're saying that some of the early vaccine candidates that are showing promise have to be kept not just in a fridge, but colder than that until they get to the place where someone's going to get a shot?
That's right. Many of the techniques that are being used are novel. Some of the other combinations we've never had before, and they are inherently unstable, and they will destroy themselves in a way at higher temperatures. So they have to be stored at very cold temperatures. Just imagine the kind of refrigeration vehicle that you need to have in order to keep quantities of vaccine cold. So it adds a level of complexity that makes it almost disqualifies it as being a vaccine that will allow us to work in 220 countries and meet the needs of getting to the most remote places.
I mean, there's that expression, the perfect is the enemy of the good. Will it help that what you regard as a safe but imperfect vaccine, does it help if that does get out into people in the early phases of our vaccine response until we can get the more sophisticated vaccines online?
Absolutely. I don't want to disqualify the early vaccines because they're not perfect. No, we need to vaccinate 6 billion people. The highest percentage of them will be vaccinated with imperfect vaccines. And I don't mean unsafe. I just mean that they will have perhaps a lower efficacy. And we're glad to have them. But there's nothing unusual about this, David. Most people listening to this got the early shingles vaccine and were very happy to get it. It provided a great deal of immunity, but not enough. And when the newer one, the more modern one, came out that gave a higher degree of immunity, they got that too. Such is the nature of innovation.
Epidemiologist Larry Brilliant is CEO of PanDefense Advisory. Thank you very much for your time.
David, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Bihar is in northern India, by the way. Conversations in our series Fast Track, the Grand Challenge of Vaccinating the World Against COVID-19, are accumulating at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.